By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship, good morning. It's so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning as we come together in our time of worship. We want to welcome you on this beautiful Sunday morning, the first Sunday after Easter. You that are visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. We have some guests from Fredericksburg, so we welcome you. We're glad to have you. And we still broadcast the service out in the automobiles by radio, and we want to welcome them to our service. We're glad that you're here this morning. We're going to be having communion today. We remember you. And that is the heart of what I want to share with you this morning. It's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. You know, as a pastor, when I talk with people, often the conversation gets around to the life they are living. What's going on in their life? Struggles, difficulties, regrets. And usually it gets around, you know, I wished I was different, better. More what I should be, want to be. In other words, I wish God could change me into what I want to be and what God wants me to be. Well, those conversations always goes back to Easter. We celebrated Easter last weekend. And Easter is all about change. It's all about the power of God. It's all about what God can do in our lives. And God took the worst possible situation. The disciples and those that were following him and the crowd and everybody was looking and said, finally, God is going to break into this world and he's going to set things right. He's going to destroy the evil and he's going to raise up his kingdom. And instead, Jesus was hung on a cross and he was crucified. And this one that they thought would be the miracle worker, he was dead. But God took that where the people said, what are we going to do now? And he turned it all around and he used it for good. And even though Jesus was dying on the cross and even though he was put in a tomb, God turned that upside down and God changed the world. Because he brought Jesus back to life. And God is still changing the world. And God is changing individual lives. God has changed me. God is changing you. God is able to change the world. And I'm so happy that you are here today to experience that. That whatever is going on in your life, you can say, God is able to change me today. And I'm glad you're here. And so I want you to just turn and look to the person next to you and say, I'm glad that you are here. Would you do that? Just say, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you're here. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, today at the end of this service, we're going to take communion. Because it's because we're remembering what God is able to do to change us. Remember why we came and celebrated Easter last weekend. To remember why Jesus died for us. And the fact that we can go out of this place today different than we came in. Not because we have the power to do that. But God has the power. God can change that. And God has called us here this morning for that purpose. That we might allow Him to change us. To remember that Jesus' death has that power. And that's why He died. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for religious people. Jesus did not die so that people could come to church and call themselves Christians or call themselves religious people. He was only interested in people who wanted to have a relationship with Him. People who wanted to have a changed life. That's why He came. Now, do you have that kind of relationship with Jesus? Or do you need God to do something to change something in your life today so that you, when you do walk out of this place, you will be able to walk out with a new relationship with God? What does Jesus want to do for you today in this service? So when we celebrate communion today, what will Jesus need to do for you? Before you come and take that broken body and drink of that cup, what do you need for God to do in you? I believe our scripture lesson explains the purpose of us having communion today. Let's take a look at it now. As we saw that on that day that Jesus was reported to have been resurrected, that there were two people walking along the road to Emmaus with two believers, and they had heard those reports about the resurrection. However, because they hadn't personally seen the evidence, they heard Jesus was resurrected. They heard the disciples talk about it, but they hadn't seen it. And so they decided, look, this is a bit much. So they began to pack it in and they headed back home to Emmaus. And so they are on their way. And they are going right back to where they were when they first started following Jesus. They were just going home. Hadn't seen Jesus. They've heard it, but they hadn't seen it. So they were going back to their old way of living. And they stopped looking for Jesus. It was over as far as they were concerned. That's incredible, isn't it? They gave up looking for Jesus. But thank God, Jesus didn't give up looking for them. The text says, Jesus Himself, He came up while they were walking away, going back to their old way of living. Jesus walked up and walked along with them. You know, now Jesus knew what they needed. And so Jesus drew near to them. So near that He was actually walking beside them. And they didn't know it. And it's possible that Jesus is right beside you now and you don't even recognize it. That He's pursuing you. I don't know if you're looking for Him, but I know He's looking for you. And Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. He knows our doubt. He knows how easy we give up. And He knows when we need Him. So, why do we give up? Why don't we look for Him? Why don't we expect Him? Why do we go back to our old way of living? That is, living as if Jesus isn't around. That's the way we live. We live our lives often as if Jesus is not here. That He's somewhere else. Well, it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to have doubt. It's easy to fall away. It's easy to take living for granted that God is not engaged in our lives. And it's easy to misunderstand. We just don't see it. Even when He's there. Even when He's walking along beside us in our journey. It's easy for us to give up and to give in. But thank God that in spite of us giving up hope, or us getting lost, or us frequently losing our way, or walking in some kind of doubt in our faith, we have a God who not only comes looking for us, but he draws near. And he's here with us now. And he will stay with us until we can see him again. You see, that's the good news of Easter. That's what grace is all about. That is what Jesus is about. Jesus draws near, and that's what he did to these two. He drew near to those who had lost hope, who he was there. He walked along and spoke with them for hours. And he will do that for us too. He never stops calling us. He's never stopped being with us. He spent the day with those two traveling along, explaining to them the scriptures. He was with them until the sun was beginning to set. They saw him. They walked next to him. They talked with him, and yet they didn't know who it was that they were walking with or talking with. They were so caught up in their own problems, struggles, and question, and confusion, that they didn't know that it was he who was walking with them. But wait, before we began to cast our stones at them in judgment, why didn't they know who he was? We have to confess that we have been there with them. We have had those times too. There have been times when we've been blind and we're distant and we didn't know that Jesus is with us when he actually is. How many times have you sat down to read the scripture in your devotional time and not know that Jesus was sitting there with you in that scripture? In the Word, when we're reading God's Word, do we not know that God is there with us? The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." How many times have you not seen Jesus when he's near? That's why I encourage you to read the scripture every day, because it is in reading that we find God is the Word and he is near with us. And so when we give up hope and we lose hope, it happens because we say things like, "Well, look, I have been praying for years and God has not answered those prayers. Why hasn't God answered my prayers?" Or we say things like, "I've asked for patience and all I get is more problems and more things being thrown at me." Or we say, "I prayed for deliverance and all I get is more temptation." Or, "I pray for healing and all I get is sicker day by day." God, where are you? How am I to believe in you when you don't answer my prayers? Where is God? We say. We live in such a confusing time. We live in a time of an angry culture. People believing that they're not getting a fair shake, believing that they're entitled to more than what they have, and they'll take it from others just to get it if it doesn't come at the time that they want it. We have become so impatient and so intolerant because we just focus on me. What's good for me? What do I get out of this? That seems to be the generation we live in. And as a result, we give up way too easy and way too early and way too frequently. But thank God, we are not alone when we're having those temper tantrums. We're not alone when we're shaking a fist at God. We're not alone when we're angry with the world because we feel like we don't have what we're seeking. Because God is there with tears falling upon us, saying, I know your pain. I know your struggle. And I am here with you. Now, I'm not saying that you never feel alone. Truth is, you will. Truth is, you do feel alone at times. But that's not because God has abandoned you. That's not because God is not here. That's not because God doesn't care. But sometimes it's because we don't recognize that He's walking along with us. It's because we walk away from Him. People ask, so where was Jesus when my spouse walked out on us? Where was Jesus when my loved one died? And I'm left with this pain. Where was Jesus when the doctor said it's going to be terminal and there's nothing else we can do? Where was Jesus then? And the answer is, right here, reaching His hand out, wanting you to put your hand in His hand. But we keep walking away. We don't recognize it. We keep pushing Jesus away, ignoring His word, living in sin, not seeing Him even when He is here. But thank God, when we genuinely stop in our struggle in faith, when we sincerely say, Lord, where are you? When we seek Him, when we honestly call out, Jesus, okay, I'm going to stop looking out there for you. I'm going to look right here. Where are you today in this moment? Then we will be able to realize He is here right beside you. You may even be blind to His presence right now in this service. You may not be able to recognize that He's here, but He is right here with you, sitting next to you, walking beside you on your journey of your road of life. And even though we may go through times of blindness, the good news is He is here. He is with us. You see, it wasn't until Jesus broke the bread with these travelers He had been spending hours with, it wasn't until He broke the bread that their eyes were opened and they recognized, oh, I've seen that before. I've seen those hands before. I've seen that life-giving bread given to us before. I've seen our hungry hearts fed before. Oh, where did I see that? And it was when He broke the bread with them that they recognized it was Jesus. Remember Jesus' words at the Last Supper when He was with His disciples? You remember in the Scripture, it says, when you break the bread and you drink the cup, do this in remembrance of Me. Why? What does Jesus want us to do when we take communion? What does He want to happen? It allows us to focus on Jesus instead of ourselves. It's to take the eyes off the problems we're having, off ourselves and off of our needs and our inability to do anything about our life or to change life. It's to take our focus off of the power we have, which we don't, and to focus on Jesus and His power and His presence. When we focus on Jesus, it points us to the one who has been near all the time. And in this act of remembrance, it is that in breaking bread and drinking the cup that Jesus reminds us of how much He loves us. And when we break the bread, it makes us to realize He's not left us. We're not alone in what we're going through. Jesus is here now. And it's His body that's broken, the broken bread. It's His blood that was shed on the cross, that we drink in the cup. God wants our eyes to be open, the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart. And that's why we gather today to share in this table. It's not ours. It's not our doing. It's His table, and it's what He's doing. When these two followers of Jesus who had left town and were feeling dejected, and they realized that Jesus was here with them, noticed the change in their attitude. They went from despair to hope. They went from depression that He's gone to joy. They went from doubt to belief. They went from defeat to victory. They went from being lost to being changed. And why the change? Because they recognized Jesus was here. Jesus drew near. He broke the bread. It was true finally. The Lord had risen. The Lord was with them. And He was with them. What about today? Jesus draws near to us as we gather to celebrate at this table. Jesus wants to show us that He has the power to change us, to forgive us, to give us a new life. Jesus is here. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came to earth to be the Savior of the world, and that by His death on the cross, He paid the price for the sin of the world, so that whosoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we thank You, Father, for Your wonderful gift of salvation to us. We thank You that if we come this morning believing, that we too will be made Your child. Thank You for Jesus and for the gift of salvation that You so freely give to each of us. Thank You that by believing on His name, we are forgiven for our sins and brought into a new fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we turn from everything that is dishonoring to Your name. And we pray that we would grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus. And that day by day that the Holy Spirit will seek to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Oh, thank You, Father, that Jesus is here. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen. I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of His robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled. And the whole earth is filled. And the whole earth is filled with His glory.